Okay, welcome folks to the Marlington School Board regular meeting. It's 7:02 PM. We will start with an invocation from Colton Kearns. Colton?
Dear Lord, thank you for helping all of us get here safely tonight, and please help everybody get home safely tonight. Lord, help this meeting go well tonight. Help us engage in thoughtful discussion at this meeting as we are trying to do the best for our community, school, and students. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Colton. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading of the mission statement, Mrs. Carolyn Gabert.
In collaboration with staff, community, parents, and students, the Marlington Local School District will develop lifelong learners who understand and apply knowledge and demonstrate excellence in pursuing the highest standards with effective intervention to challenge every student.
Thank you, Carolyn. Roll call, please.
Carolyn Gabert.
Here.
Thomas Hipplett.
Here.
Karen Humphreys.
Here.
Scott Mason.
Here.
Mark Ryan.
Here. Adoption of meeting agenda. Any additions or corrections?
Yes, sir.
Okay, recommend that the Marlington Local Board of Education adopt the following agenda for March 21st, 2019 regular meeting.
So moved.
Any discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabert.
Yes.
Tom Sipley.
Yes.
Karen Humphreys.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Okay, special presentations, staff recognition. Mr. Knoll.
All right. Well, about a year ago, we started recognizing staff members that were highlighted in our local newspapers for a whole plethora of topics. And tonight, I get to call up our school resource officer, Deputy Boganovich. One of our two, I should say. As you know, it's been all hands on deck when it comes to school safety, mental health. And this gal right here has been with Marlington for a long time. And in my 8 years, the relationship we've been able to build and work together for the safety of our kids has just been phenomenal. But it's all because it has to start with somebody like this. So, Deputy was honored in the Alliance Review the other day with a nice picture. So let me read this certificate. The certificate of appreciation is awarded to Melissa Boganovich in recognition of her being a recipient of the Alliance Review Make the Great Difference Maker of the Month. So how about a nice round of applause for her?
Okay. Students of the Month. Sam Pepper.
Okay, the high school picks a male and a female to be the Elk Teenage Student of the Month. This time we have Mr. Colton Kearns. Come on up, Colton. Let me brag about him a little bit. He is the son of David and Samantha. He attended Boys State for us, which is a great event. He was first team EBC for football, and he was a captain for the wrestling team. He was also a 3-year letter winner for football and a 4-year letter winner for wrestling. He's just one of our great leaders. He's one of those guys that works behind the scenes, and we really appreciate him. That's cool. Okay, Morgan Peterson. Morgan's the daughter of Tina and Mike. She's got a whole boatload of things that she's involved in. Character Counts for 4 years. She's actually president of that. She is part of Teens Against Cancer for the last 4 years. She's on Teen Court, And she's National Honor Society for 2 years, Spanish Honor Society for 2 years, and she was also in Link Crew. She enjoys singing with our Dutch Voices and Jazz Choir, and she is planning on going to Bowling Green State University and majoring in occupational therapy. That's Morgan.
Good evening, Mr. Evanich couldn't be here tonight. I'd like to recognize our first middle school, eighth grader Destiny Hall, for our student of the month. Destiny, is Destiny here? Destiny's not here tonight, but a little bit about Destiny. She's the daughter of Jeremy and Deidre Hall. Her favorite subjects are math with Mrs. Robinson and gifted reading language arts with Mrs. Buchheit. She's a member of our choir and chamber ensemble, and she enjoys going to movies with her family. She's always ready for a challenge and is eager for next opportunity as soon as she finishes her current unit. She often explores the topic on her own, trying to further understand the topic. This is all by her teachers. She's very responsible and is willing to care or to take on extra responsibilities. That's Destiny Hall. Our next student of the month at the middle school is eighth grader Jack Ramirez. Jack's here. Jack is the son of Jackie and JJ Ramirez. His favorite class is Mrs. Buchheit's gifted reading language arts class. Jack is in the eighth grade band and was a member of the Marching Dukes of Marlington. He is also a member of our track and field team at the middle school. Jack's teachers had the following to say about him. Jack is always willing to help out any way that's needed and is caring towards all students and staff. Jack always is smiling and sharing a kind word with anyone who passes by. Jack volunteers often in class and is willing to work with anyone. He shares very thoughtful answers in class. Jack often takes time out of his day to help others. He is a nice young man and nice to everyone. Congratulations, Jack.
Good evening, everyone. Lexington's Kiwanis Student of the Month is Cadence Moody. What her teachers say about her is Cadence was chosen because she represents what it takes to be a Kiwanis Student of the Month. She shows outstanding character in several ways. She is responsible, reliable, and honest. She's always available to help out her teachers and her peers, helping them to be successful in the classroom. Every day she works hard in the classroom and takes great pride in her work. We are so pleased to have her at Lexington. And that's exactly right. I couldn't word that any better. She always has a smile on her face, ready to go, and is such a great friend and just an awesome, awesome student. Her favorite subject is math. She has an older brother and a younger sister and a younger brother. And she said when she grows up, she would like to be a vet because she has her love for animals. And in her free time, she plays soccer, basketball, and softball. So that keeps her pretty busy, but she said her favorite is softball. So congratulations, Cadence.
If you have in your agenda, you see our Kiwanis Student of the Month from Marlboro. It says Jacob Danko Zorba. Jacob is a wonderful kid. We'll see him next month. So that's our fault there. Today it's Tegan Pierce. She's not able to be with us, but let me say some great things about her because she is fantastic. Tegan is a very open and accepting individual. She cares for others very much. She is a quiet leader. She is super kind. She has a lovely family. Tegan brings a fresh perspective to her classroom, and she models excellent Duke Pride behaviors, and we're very proud of her. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. The Washington Student of the Month is Joe Giggs. Come on up, Joe. The son of JP and Todd Gates, and he is such an outstanding student at Washington Elementary. All of his teachers just rant and rave about what a great student he is, how kind he is to all his peers, and to his teachers. He's always willing to give a helping hand and to help tutor kids in his class as well. Teachers say he's super quiet, but he has one of the best senses of humor that you could really ask for a kid. He's a member of the choir and on the math team. He loves to read, and he really enjoys hiking with his family. He's wearing NASA tonight because when he grows up, he wants to be an astronaut. And he actually just told us that an astronaut can only be 6'4", so he's hoping that he grows a little bit more, but not too much. Congratulations.
Okay, administrators' reports, curriculum update. Mrs. Carol Sutton.
Just a few things that I wanted to update you on. If you recall, I reported a couple years ago that we had joined the Ohio Blended Collaborative. It's a group of districts in the state of Ohio, and we share collaboration. There's no real hierarchy of leadership. We just come together. And in the course of this partnership, we gained some professional learning for our teachers, but we also were able to send teachers to develop some courses that are open source. The first year we sent a French 3 teacher, Mrs. Phillips, and Mrs. Swisher went and developed an online blended learning course, open source, in sixth grade math. We also sent all of our administrators to a year-long course in leadership to support blended learning. It was very, very successful. This school year, we sent two more teachers for course development, both anatomy and physiology and math grade 7. It's going very, very well. We also, in addition, are sending 10 teachers to Lake. We are partnering with Lake Schools, and they have teachers doing professional development in blended learning. And that is a 5-month course. And then we also here in the district started Blended Learning Leadership Team, and now we've shortened it, of course, because every good thing has an acronym, to B2LT. And that was created this year, and we wanted to promote leadership mindset in blended learning and technology integration. So moving forward, I wanted to let you know where we're headed. Next year, Mr. Siders and I participated in OBC Draft Day, and we have 3 teachers going the next year to be involved in course creation and revision. We have algebra teacher, physics teacher, and fifth grade science. We're gaining additional courses that we will have available for all of our teachers, including courses in grades 4 and 5. We're gonna send 10 additional teachers, and we're hoping to partner with 2 additional schools in the county. So we're growing in the county with Stark County. And they will go again through a 4-month course on blended learning and how to implement effectively blended learning. And our B2LT will continue to address blended learning. And the biggest task that we have coming up will be to design an incentive-based professional learning opportunities for our teachers moving forward next year, and also a process to adopt and evaluate our digital content. Making sure that we're compliant with rules and regulations, but that we're also delivering content that is engaging to students. It's quite a task. I was hoping that Aubrey was gonna be here. I was gonna congratulate her on the DL, or surprise, actually. Our very own Aubrey Horning, you realize, just a reminder, she is our elementary STEM teacher, STEAM teacher. Also, she does after school, before and after school STEAM club. She recently was published for 2 of her own design MakerBot STEM lessons. They are included here on those links if you wanted to take a look at those. And because of that, she has been MakerBot certified. So that is quite an accomplishment, and she chose to do that totally on her own and surprised us with that this week. So congratulations to Ms. Horning. And then I wanted to let you know, March is Women's History Month. It's a very long month, the longest month, just in case you were wondering. The longest month is Women's History Month. And then I just wanted to let you know that no matter what we are all wonderful. Thank you. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Building report, Washington Elementary School, Mr. Michael Groholi. Take it away, Mike.
All right, this is supposed to be a Washington building report, but in a lot of senses, this is kind of an elementary building report. We've worked really hard the last couple of years to just try to collaborate and really be on the same page on a lot of things. So I just wanted tonight to highlight some of the awesome things that we're doing to catch kids doing great things around the school. And our teachers have done a really great job of buying into these things, and these are all little things that we do day in and day out to highlight the awesome things that our kids are doing. So I just took a few screenshots of some of these things. The first one up there are called brag tags. These are just little, they look like dog tags. They come in different shapes and sizes. And we highlight kids doing super work in their fluency, in math and reading, or if they're doing awesome in Reading Plus, it's another program. And we highlight these kiddos and we give them these little tags and they put them on their backpacks. And they get to wear them around and they show them off and they show moms and dads. It's just something really cool that we get to do. The other one, something we started a little bit more this year, is called the Principal's Proud Call Home. Typically, a parent gets a little worried when the principal's calling them home, but this is kind of like turning that. We're finding a kiddo doing something awesome, and we get to call home and tell mom and dad what a great job that they're doing in the class. The Duke M's, this is just when we see a kiddo doing something great, we hand them the M. They get to color it any way that they want, get to sign it with their name, and then we have a long train of them going down the hallway. So as the kids are walking down the hallway, they get to see all the kids doing great things throughout the day. The bottom one are do coupons. We have these for everything. Extra recess, get a free ice cream treat, get to wear a funny hat to school the next day, be teacher for the day. So those are just little free incentives that we get to give the kiddos to highlight something positive that they're doing. The Duke Pride tickets, once again, we have a monthly drawings for t-shirts or different prizes at our success assemblies. Kiddos get these, you know, if they're following their Duke Pride, put them in the bucket and then we get to pull them and you'll see kiddos coming home with, I'm a Duke Pride winner, and they're just black and orange t-shirts just showing some Duke Pride at school. And then the last one is actually my favorite one. These are Duke Pride stickers. Catch a kiddo doing something awesome at school and we put a sticker right on their chest. And as they're walking around the building, you'll see staff members stopping kids and say, why did you get that Duke Pride sticker? And then the kiddo gets to tell you what they did to earn that. So that's basically just some of the positive things that we're doing at the elementaries to just promote good choices. And we just want to keep that going. So I brought some Duke Pride stickers for all of our members here on the board. You guys could stick those on your shirts and maybe somebody will catch you doing something good and ask you how that's going. So here you guys go, you too.
Thank you.
Stick those on your shirts. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
Okay, we're gonna get into public participation, but before we do that, if you'd like to leave the meeting at this point, this would be the time to do it. If you want to exit before we get into more of the nuts and bolts of the meeting, be a few minutes to exit. Jeff will be the first speaker. And you've got 10 minutes, Jeff.
All right, thank you. Karen stepped away. Or Cameron stepped away.
Jeff. Let's wait till Karen's back. Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank the board, Mr. Knoll, and the community for allowing me to speak again tonight. And Mr. Knoll, I want to give you an apology right off the bat. Last meeting, when you presented the data for the closure of Marlboro, all the enrollment data, I didn't believe you. I inherently did not believe you. So I went and checked it. And you were right on, you're spot on with all the numbers. But the manipulation of how you used the data was blatantly incorrect. Blatantly. And it's fear-mongering at best. This is the problem that this board majority and Mr. Knoll have you believe. The 2000,
18 enrollment data from kindergarten, which was incorrectly quoted in the News and Views by the board majority, and the letter to the editor that said we had 102, something like that. We had 132. This is from the Ohio Board of Education. First week in October data. We go and look up data. This is what we do in when we analyze things. We should look things up, and we're starting to do that, the public is. So you're off by like 30. That's a pretty big number to be off, okay? This is the argument. 132 is so much smaller than about 208. You said 170 or something, in the, or I was wrong. It's 208. So small compared to that, that we have nothing to do but close a school. We have to do it. That's the argument. That wasn't good enough for me. So if you want to use kindergarten to senior class as the measuring stick, let's look at all of them. So that's 17, smaller. Do you want to keep going? It goes all the way back. 40 years worth. There's a couple years where they're flat, a couple years where they're the opposite, but for the most part, every year, year over year, smaller. This right here is our senior class now. See how it kind of just keeps going? It's an exorbitantly large senior class. But that wasn't good enough. Looking at seniors to kindergarten, not good enough. What you should have done, and we have a PhD in heart science here that should know how to analyze data, looked at 1 year's data and compared apples to apples.
I'm going to interrupt you right now.
You can wait till I'm done.
I'm going to give you a suggestion that you read the law on slander before you start saying.
I'm an attorney if you'd like to.
Yeah, well, I think you should know.
That's not slanderous. I'm pointing out fact.
No.
Look at kindergarten. I'm wasting my 10 minutes, sir.
Jeff.
Wasting my 10 minutes, Jeff.
If you're going to present something, please don't,
sir.
Jeff. You don't need to invoke people's names and reputations and occupations. Just continue on with your presentation, please.
I apologize. What we're really worried about is each class size year over year. That's really what we should be looking at, in addition to what they did, but year over year. Kindergarten class is by far the worst class we have. And you can see this right here is actually trending back up. See this dip way back? See this little dip? This is what we're closing a school over. See, back in the 80s and the 90s, we've had significant drops and increases over and again. But that, now it's time. We're going to close. Let's close the school over this right here. Scary, super scary. All the other classes look similar to the 12th grade. Look at our size. Sorry, I'm shaking. I'm getting frustrated. See our size right here? It's higher than what we had throughout most of the 80s, most of the 90s, and the 2000s. Okay? Scary. Total enrollment. Mr. Noel, you did a better job with total enrollment because you went back from 2010. See it right here? This is where you started your data and you shoved it there. See that little dip? You might not see that way in the back. That's what we're closing the school over. Total enrollment drop. Absolutely the smallest we've ever had, without a doubt. But look what happened in the 80s. Look at the size of that drop. See what happened here? We had a significant increase in the 90s through into the late 90s, okay? See how we have this little drop? Closing the school. Did they close the school back here? Didn't close the school back here. See it? Big drop. Scary. Okay. I would like to see this data here. This right here is the projected data that Mr. Knoll published in his PowerPoint. We don't have that data available. I had to use the bar graph and scale it, so I might be off by a couple, but it's pretty close. See how it's trending pretty close here? My bet is that after 2026, what happens? Why did we stop at 2026 on that PowerPoint? Does anybody know what that data is used for? Anybody? You can shout it out. It's my 10 minutes.
OFCC data.
What's it used for?
OFCC projection data.
Exactly. How far out does it go?
It goes out to 2026 because it was a 10-year, started in 2016.
And you didn't have any further data?
No.
Out to 2030, 2050 to size the new school. That's used to size the new school. So if it's good enough to size the new school, this data here, why would it not be good enough to keep a school? You can't have it both ways. Either the data's good or it's not. You spent about 5 minutes talking about the quality of how they prepared that data. Absolutely agree. Did a great job on it. Spent about 5 minutes. Not good enough to save a school, more than sufficient to build a school. The problem that we have here is that this is not about numbers of students. Yes, we have a decreased enrollment. Yes, we have decreased enrollment throughout all of Northeast Ohio. What we decide to do with that is the issue. And when we threaten to close a school, move people to other schools, make it a disaster for the community, for what purpose? We're gonna save some money? I don't know if that's true. $550,000? I think that's debatable. It really is. Especially when you shift certain people out of positions, but you really didn't get rid of positions. I don't know if that's true. I'm gonna make a formal request tonight for all of the projections, for all of the OFCC's projected data. I'd like copies of the plans that were used for estimates, any preliminary drawings, so I can actually see them if they exist, as well as any of the cost estimates that were done. Just because I think we need to actually have a set of eyes that's really looking at this stuff that might have some inkling of what's going on. So I appreciate your time. I apologize if you're offended. I certainly wasn't, but to be honest with you, one point in time, analyzing apples and oranges, that's not valid data. You can't do that. That just doesn't make sense. That's scientifically not sound. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Before we call the next speaker, I meant to say this before. The public speaks portion of the meeting is a courtesy of the public to air their concerns, make comments, whatever they'd like. It's not an avenue to debate with the board or sound off, get responses. It's just we're running a business meeting here, so the public speaks is just for that purpose. If someone wants to say something, we allow that to occur. So with that being said, next speaker, Daniel Stevens. Daniel?
Thank you for your time. As I attend the board meetings, I sit back and wonder, how did it get to this? How did our vote against consolidation become ignored? I don't understand how four board members can have more power control than 3,642 voters. How did it start out that the first slide the board fund was consolidation will be a better educational benefit, to now education being the least thing from their minds to consolidation will save money? Each month, a new great idea is brought into play by the Board of Education, when yet still your voters have the best idea. Listen to them, the people who voted you in to represent us, not your own agendas. Marlboro Elementary is the highest performing elementary in the school district, according to niche.com and schooldigger.com. When compared to the other district elementary schools, Marlboro significantly outpaces them academically. Marlboro is also the second largest elementary school the Marlington District owns. It also possesses the following amenities Washington Elementary does not have, including a standalone cafeteria, a separate gym, an additional teaching space, and air conditioning in half of the building. This is according to the OFCC building report. The report also states that Marlboro is 1,730 square feet bigger and has the same number of classrooms as Washington. Also, Marlboro Elementary is housed on a plot of land that is 2.5 acres larger than Washington. This could be valuable in case an addition to the school was ever needed. The state of Ohio also determined that it would take $650,000 more to renovate Washington Elementary than Marlboro. Yet the school board still is moving forward with the closing. The closing of Marlboro is strictly retaliatory. When my child asks for something and I say no, that answer is the final answer. Here the voters have stated no numerous times, and yet somehow the school board acts like children throwing a tantrum. They will spin whatever lie they can to ensure their own agenda is met. I urge the board to rethink this. Don't continue to divide the Marlington community along with the Marlboro community with your selfish and imprudent behavior. Listen to your voters.
Thank you, Danielle.
Sarah Price Smith.
My name is Sarah Price Smith, and I'm another parent in the district. I have a rather unique position. position as I have children both in the school district and we also homeschool several of our children. I'm a mom of six, so we get to kind of pick and choose how we decide to educate those children. I'm here tonight because I would like to ask the school board to please reconsider keeping a preschool classroom at Washington Elementary. Currently, what was approved last month was moving both preschool classrooms to Lexington Elementary when Marlboro Elementary School closes. There are three reasons why I would like for you to please reconsider moving both classrooms. First of all, this would reduce the time some of the students would be riding the bus or parents' drive time to Lexington when they reside closer to Washington Elementary School. A Yale University study published in 2002 states that elementary students that ride a bus to or from school for longer than 20 minutes each way are more susceptible to stress, exhaustion, and poor performances in school. Additionally, they found that children that ride buses were 15 times more likely to have childhood asthma directly related to breathing in soot particles from diesel bus fumes. That was a study from Yale University. Additionally, it would keep a consistent and routine structure for the children that would be able to stay in their classroom and their school building. Dr. Renier Pierre-Latoni at Rutgers University in New Jersey published in 2019, and he stated, as we know, change complicates perspective and upends stability. When students can confidently predict classroom structure and teacher behavior, they are free to immerse themselves in their curiosity, freely taking risks and safely negotiate their social interactions. Routines and procedures help make classrooms more predictable and subsequently help students feel safe. Lastly, I would like to talk about my most important reason for keeping a preschool at Washington Elementary.
Sarah, 30 seconds.
Okay. My child in the preschool classroom, who's currently 3 years old, he struggles with a disorder called childhood anxiety disorder. And that disorder is characterized by social anxiety, separation anxiety, panic attacks, body-focused repetitive behaviors, and sleep disorders. I spent months sitting in the preschool room with my son trying to help him adapt to the environment of being in a classroom. Since the winter break, he still struggles with attending the classroom more than twice a week. Moving a child like Caleb to a new building and a new classroom would cause an elevated anxiety response and would most likely result in his removal from the program. And additionally, it would also keep us from enrolling him in kindergarten in favor of homeschooling, resulting in yet another loss for the school district. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Mary Sherman?
Bond issues going down to defeat. The Alliance Review asked Board President Mark Ryan his thoughts. He acknowledged the election's not looking good. This is what it comes down to, though. That is democracy. Yet at the Board of Education meeting barely 2 weeks later, four of the five board members said they were going to continue with consolidation of the elementary schools because they felt that was the way to go. When did our votes begin not to count? When did we as citizens lose the ability to make decisions that affect our lives, our communities, and our schools? When did this board decide they know better than the citizens of the communities that they are supposed to represent? At the December 17th, 2015 board meeting, former board members Phil Francis and Jim Fisher and current board member Mark Ryan voted to put a measure on the ballot to fund a new consolidated elementary building. Carolyn Gabrick and former board member Gary Scott voted no and stated that the community does not want these projects. Board President Mark Ryan said, ultimately, the issue will be decided by voters. And we quote Mr. Ryan's words here from the Alliance Review. Ultimately, the voters decide. We hear people say we're jamming this down their throat. But ultimately, the voters decide. If there is that much resentment or lack of support, the voters will vote it down, and we will move on to the next proposal. So we voted the bond issue down in May 2017, and the board prepared another proposal, and we voted it down again in November 2018, and now this board plans to build a consolidated elementary school without voter approval, as confirmed by Superintendent Knoll when I spoke with him last week. We believe this is the definition of jamming something down our throat. How about resentment? Oh yeah, look around. How about lack of support? There's no support for a consolidated elementary building, and certainly no support to close Marlboro. So, this board is going to close Marlboro, destroy our community. And quoting from research we did, because we can all do research, research suggests that the removal of a school from a community can have a significant negative effect on the social structures of the community. In addition, schools also serve as centers for civic education and community employment. Closing a school means destroying an institution that holds the community together. Recent research suggests that all other variables being equal, students in small schools tend to outperform their peers. Consolidation has other, but just as important, effects on students. For example, rural students are more likely to face long bus rides across considerable distances. Let's face it, the 40 minutes max that you're stating on the bus when we do this consolidation is a pipe dream. Our grandchildren are on the bus for 30 minutes now, and they're only 3.3 miles from Marlboro. Whenever there is a substitute bus driver, there can be anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes longer. In smaller rural communities, the presence of a school was associated with much higher property values and newer houses. Across all rural communities, those with schools had significantly more professional workers in the workforce and a larger percentage of households with self-employment income. Taken together, rural communities with schools are economically more viable and have fewer inequities than their counterparts communities with no schools. Our grandson attended the mega elementary school in Louisville for kindergarten and hated it. Every day was a struggle to get him to school. I should have bought some alcohol. When they moved to Marlboro Township the next summer to build their home, he started at Marlboro. And as a first grader, he loved Marlboro. There were no more issues about getting up in the morning and not wanting to go to school. This board is making a huge mistake, closing Marlboro, and our children and grandchildren will pay for it.
Thanks, Mary. Is that it? Okay, moving on to old business. I sent an email out earlier in the week. Carolyn had asked Ryan and Joe some questions back in February, and I thought it necessary to address some of them. Well, actually, there were 6 points. And if, Carolyn, if you want to jump in and say anything to this as I bring them up, you're more than welcome to. The first item, the organizational meeting in January, we had an OFCC resolution on the agenda. Now, we had researched that with our attorney, and it was approved or was okayed. I believe, was that Mary Jo we spoke to? Or
yes, yeah, so the what it comes down to, my concern was, because it was an organizational meeting, could you conduct business at that meeting that wasn't the standard organizational meeting?
So my question to her involved that. Are we allowed to act on something? Now, Mrs. Gabriel, that was one of her concerns, but your other concern...
It wasn't actually my concern, and I had actually asked Joe prior to the meeting to make sure we were good, if I could...
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, you sent this question in February, well...
That's because...
Over a month after that meeting occurred. That's why I'm bringing it up. I'm wondering why you're bringing it up over a month after it occurred. Go ahead.
Okay. The question I asked Joe the morning of that meeting was, the OFCC resolution was not listed in the public announcement in the newspaper. And since this was considered a special meeting, it's an organizational meeting considered a special meeting, do we need to do something to the meeting to make sure we don't have an improper or illegal meeting? Joe replied to me that Ryan took care of all that. He dealt with the attorney. He's not here. You'll have to talk to him about it. So I was satisfied that he had done his due diligence. Unfortunately, that is not what Ryan had checked out. He checked out something different, which was, can you discuss other business in the organization?
Correct.
So, if you're concerned...
That's what we researched, and that's what
right, but that
we had
wasn't
covered.
My question.
You were concerned
so
whether it was in
was
the paper the proper way? Is that what your concern was?
It was not listed in the newspaper. And when you have a special...
Yeah, but we don't list agendas in the newspaper. We just list the meeting.
For special meetings, you're required to list the business you're going to cover and whether you're going to take action. Because it was a special meeting, you're required to list that we were going to discuss OFCC and potentially take action.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, the next point.
Isn't that the way you understood after I talked
yes.
about it?
Yes, yeah, no.
And I'm sorry it took me a month to catch up with Ryan.
No,
but he
that's
was
okay.
absent at the meeting, and it
yeah,
just
it
took me that long to
yeah.
catch
okay.
up with him. So
yeah,
I apologize,
had a family
Mark,
emergency
that it took,
that day, so
took
it was
me that long
chaotic.
To catch up with him.
Okay, the next item, the organizational meeting in January. We had an executive session, and I guess my concern is we've been using the same language for year after year, and... This was on the agenda, and we read the language like it was. And it's not really a big deal, Carolyn, but I think the grandstanding you do at the meetings such as this, where you just walk out because you don't agree with something that's being read or said, when our attorneys, and we've had this particular language in meetings numerous times, and you bring it up then right at a meeting instead of asking beforehand what's going on. Instead you make a scene, and my concern is, you know, why do that? I'm suspicious as to why you did that.
Well, I prefer that we follow the law. I'm doing my very best to do that. We often put in the minutes on the agenda, the reason, and then any other business that can be discussed in executive session, whatever. But rarely do we say that. We scale it back and scale it back to the appropriate reason. According to Higher Revised Code 121.22, the discussion in executive session is limited to the specific statutory reason, as well as we're not supposed to read a laundry list of possible matters we'll be discussing. So that's why I asked you specifically, I think you said, and we were going in for the personnel issues, which
I think that was Joe's, okay, that was Joe's evaluation.
And then you further stated, and for any other reasons to be kept confidential. And when I asked you what were those reasons, you said there weren't any. So I thought I was helping
well,
you
in the
stay
course,
on
and,
task.
And this is not
me,
the
Mark.
First time we've done
Excuse
this.
Excuse me, Mark.
Go ahead.
I'm speaking. I'm trying.
I'm
to
trying.
You...
I'm trying to answer a point that you brought up. But go ahead.
May I speak now? Do yeah. I have your permission to speak?
Go ahead.
It's important that we follow the Ohio Revised Code and use proper motions and not do a laundry list. And if you're going into executive session and you go in for an improper reason, you risk a possible future attack on what you've done and
you could make Joe's contract null and void, for example. So why do you not want to do things
this
according
is...
to Ohio Revised Code?
Can I interject?
Go ahead.
We went into executive session in January and February with the same language, but you didn't excuse yourself in those meetings.
Let me see the motion from the minutes we're going in.
We can get that. I don't have that in front of me.
I mean, generally, you state what we're going in for, and it's supposed to be more specific than anything else that you would like to discuss. And I think we've been more careful in the recent past to try to do that. And if we're going in for any other reasons, and I think I've asked on occasion, and I believe the last one you said was for the audit. Mm-hmm. You clarified that in our motion, and I don't know if that made it to the minutes or not. I didn't get a chance to read them. Yeah. I didn't get the minutes till quite late this afternoon.
Yeah, no, that.
So hopefully it's listed in.
Yep.
It's Ryan's job, right, as to get the proper wording, and he consults with our attorney, which is generally Mary Jo Slay.
Yeah, and what I do is I ask you or I ask Joe what things need to be that could be executive items. And so I'm trying to get a feel for what reasons I want to list that.
Right.
And so that's the reason I do that. And so, yes, I mean, the point is you should only go in for the reasons that you're going to go in for. You shouldn't list every reason if you're not going in for every reason. And it's unlikely you would go in for every reason. And yeah, I think, again, you know, I wasn't at the organizational meeting because of an emergency I had, so I'm not sure, but it sounds like we might have went in for more than one reason when we only were going in for one reason. Is that correct, essentially?
Sure, that would be correct.
But that's the same wording we used in January.
In January's meeting?
In January's regular meeting.
Okay. From now on, I'm going to try to be as attentive to this matter, so we're only going to list what we're going, like tonight we listed exactly what we went in for,
right.
Nothing else.
And that's
what I'm going to try to do the best that I can on that. That'll be my promise.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And so sometimes what will happen is you get closer to the meeting, if something does pop up, you know what I mean, that's when the problems start. If we've said, hey, we're going in for this reason, and now something else has happened, that's where the issue is coming, I think.
Right.
So that's, you know, we'll have to, I guess, talk about that. But you should only be going in for what you're going to talk about.
Right.
And my concern was we knew we were going in for only Joe's evaluation, which was part of personnel, and that part of the motion was correct.
Right.
It was the rest of it that I was trying to correct and was unable to correct because I tried to amend the motion and it failed for lack of second.
Okay, next item. January meeting, you made a comment to Joe and Ryan in your letter to them about Mrs. Ryan giving a speech to clear her name, but then you went on to say that she, well, I'll just read it. Mrs. Ryan gave a speech to clear her name, but never explained the text messages she sent in regard to her possible involvement and the Raber transaction with the school and how she obtained the details of the transaction prior to these becoming available to the public. She also delivered what appeared to be advertisement of her business at the January meeting, as well as delivered similar advertising statements during a public speech at a prior meeting to the bond levy. You're making these statements and allegations. Neither time was she asked to stop advertising her business. I don't know of any time she was advertising her business. All I know is she introduced herself, and because there was a claim made at the previous meeting that besmirched her and her livelihood, she was standing up there to defend herself and her business, which was unfairly attacked, unsubstantiated charges, no concrete evidence. You bring this up again to have our administrators do research on a public speaker who has every right to say what she'd like to say, and you're bringing it up again, wanting, please provide more information on why she appeared to have presented herself to others as representing the school and how she might have attained the details of the topic that had been discussed in the executive session. Where's the proof that this occurred? You're making these claims, you flipped out a piece of paper from an anonymous source about a conversation that had no names attached.
Okay, that's correct.
So you're slandering somebody without any evidence. None.
There is evidence, Mark.
All right, well, let's see the evidence.
When that person is ready to present that to you, they will bring it forward.
And when might that be?
Well, maybe when they feel like they can present it without being criticized or attacked.
Is that right? So it's fair game to go after somebody in the public in that way, without any concrete evidence, while you withhold information?
I gave you a copy of the text message.
There was no name attached. You could have just made that up out of whole cloth.
Well, I didn't make it up. It was provided by a community member that had exchanged text messages with her. And she
text messages.
She probably can tell you who it is because she would have been text messaging. You knew there were text messages because that's what it said on the paper. Excerpts from the text messages.
Okay, that's what you came up with. The burden of proof is on you. I'm not aware of any discretion here. Yet you're feeling it necessary to besmirch somebody, ruin their reputation without any evidence. You come here and do this in a public setting that's going to be reported to in the newspapers, on the radio, wherever. The public here is going to talk about it. Yet you're going to hold back and say, I'm not going to release my source. How responsible is that?
I think it's very responsible when they ask me not to provide their name.
No, it's not responsible as a public official to besmirch somebody's name and reputation and livelihood. That's the problem here. That's slander.
It's not slander if it's true, Mark.
You have not provided any evidence of it, yet you made the statement in a public meeting.
It will be forthcoming.
It will?
Yes.
Okay, looking forward to it. All right, the next item, February regular meeting in 2018. This had to do with over a year ago, about an executive session and some Sunshine Law supposed violation. And again, this is another instance where you had some evidence that involved non-board members. Non-current board members. This is going back a year and a half. Why are you asking this kind of information from over a year ago?
Because I can never get any answers from you guys. That's why. You don't answer my questions. Joe doesn't answer.
You make these claims. Once again, you're making these claims with no evidence. You just suppose, I think this happened. So I want to know.
No evidence. You have copies of everything I gave you.
If I may intervene, when I was board president, it was a standard practice for you to come to our administration team Wednesday morning before a meeting with a large laundry list of information you wanted collected while they're trying to get ready for a board meeting.
I don't even get my agenda until 2 hours at best before the board meeting.
That's not true. You get it the Friday before. You get a draft.
You might be getting it the Friday before. I get a skeleton the Friday before, and I didn't get the final agenda with as many attachments till after 2:30 today.
Well, we're all in the same boat. We had a special meeting. We could have talked about any issues that popped up that you felt needed to discuss.
We're all
in the same boat here getting the agenda.
You just said you got it Friday.
We
all get a draft agenda on Friday.
But it doesn't have much in it. It doesn't have the minutes.
It's a work in progress. Things change up until the final, until the meeting time.
I think we should get it 24 hours ahead. But this issue has never been answered. I've asked several times. That was the meeting that I had provided copies of text messages, and you made a statement at you must have made the statement at the February meeting that you spoke to Deborah Dawson and had a ruling from her. Whatever from her, an opinion from her, that said that was not a violation. And when I tried to ask you questions, you wouldn't let me ask any questions. You told me to call her. So I contacted her, and she replied that she had no information.
When did you talk to her?
I was, I'm going to say March of 2018.
So
a year ago. And I have never been able to get any more information.
So did you make a public request to her?
Yes.
And she didn't give you any information?
She said she didn't have any information.
So how would Mark have any written information if she didn't have it?
He could have told me more about the conversation if he had one with her. I have not enough information.
The information you gave me to show that there was some form of violation here involved two former board members. So you're making a claim that there's some open meeting, sunshine law violation with board members that aren't even here any longer. And the time span, the time frame was like 18 months. How could you even construe, even if all the board members were there, how could you even construe that's a meeting? 18 months apart between emails, that's a meeting? That's an open sunshine law violation?
It wasn't 18 months between the texts, Mark. If you had looked at the information I provided.
I did look at it. You had board members on there that are no longer here.
That is true. But those text messages occurred all within a couple of days. And it was
that is
on
not
the
true.
Issue we were voting on
it's
in
not true.
January.
But those text messages, if I recall right, were dated several months prior, correct?
They were dated several months prior, approving the contract that you wanted to vote
there
on.
There was no January. Such wording in there about that.
Pardon me?
There was no such wording in there. And when I talked to Deborah Dawson, I said, here's what I got for evidence. And she just said, there's nothing here. Simple as that. So I wasn't going to waste any more time. I knew from looking at it, there was nothing to it. So you getting Deborah Dawson to make a ruling, a verbal ruling on it, based on some pieces of paper that allegedly show text messages between board members. If you're going to make these allegations, why can't you do the research and get a ruling from a lawyer or call Ohio School Board Association? They've got lawyers. I call them frequently, and they tell me things that I need to know or questions we have. Why can't you do that? Instead of making us all jump through hoops on things that this is a wild goose chase.
They thought it was a violation of the sunshine law.
Who?
Now you're going to ask me who. Who's the main attorney down there that I attended her seminar in February of 2017, I believe. No, 2018. I'll look up her name and get back to you. I'm not going to be able to get her name off the top of my head. It's not Holly Reedy because she's not there anymore.
All right, moving on to the next item, the five-year plan. This is just a minor point. It's really not a big deal, but Joe had simply asked for input through email to him directly. Nobody responded. His assumption was we're all good with it. And it was a topic on the agenda to discuss anyway. So not a big deal. It's just a question I thought, why? But
okay, well, to answer why.
Go ahead.
I don't think that I should be required to respond by email when all board members are approached to have input into the five-year plan. Again, I think we should try to be as transparent as possible. I asked Joe, are we going to be discussing this at the meeting? And he said, yes, it's going to be on the agenda. And I said, that's all I needed to hear, that we would have an opportunity to talk about it, rather than try to exchange emails. Exchanging emails can cause a lot of problems.
The point is, Joe was asking for information from board members, so he could be prepared. This five-year plan is a very major thing for the administration, for the board. All he was doing was preparing for a meeting for anything that might require some research. That's all he was asking.
So why do you have a problem with me asking him if we are going to have the opportunity to discuss this as a board? Why is that a problem for you?
I don't have a problem with that. I'm wondering why you're bringing this up in February after we had the meeting.
We hadn't had the meeting at that.
He sent the email out prior to the meeting. There was no input. I guess my point is, he was only looking for information. We can move on. It's not a huge issue, and we can scratch that one.
As a board member, you have the right to reach out to your board president, who actually helps set the agenda, and say, I'd like that added to the agenda, too.
Yeah, I tried that. He always says no when I ask, so.
Okay.
I.
Duly noted.
Don't ask.
Fair enough. And then the last item, this is a minor point, but I think it's important for the board to recognize that Joe is free to operate as a superintendent without being micromanaged. For him to go to the Alliance Community Foundation and just check into what the foundation could do to help us raise money for buildings or any other type of fundraising was something that he can do without board approval. He doesn't need us to recommend him doing it.
I understand.
And, okay.
But that wasn't my question. You missed the point of that again.
Okay.
My question was your comment that you said you reached out to each board member individually and explained this to him. Unfortunately, you must have only reached out to the other three because I had no knowledge of it and I was just simply asking what was the program about because I hadn't heard about it prior to there.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I guess.
When you reached out to everyone individually, I would have assumed that should have meant your entire board. And that was my point in that comment. I reached out to Joe to find more about it.
This was brought up during executive session during his evaluation. It was just a comment that was made that he had taken on his own initiative to do this.
Well, I just wondered what it was, so I wanted to ask him.
Okay, fair enough.
And I believe that I have the right as a board member to ask him
questions
as well as Mr. Jones. I'm hoping I can ask him questions if that's okay with you, Mark. I think it's important for the community to know that we're being diligent and asking questions.
Well,
and many of our questions come from the community.
That's fine.
I'm here to represent them, and I will do my very best to ask whatever questions.
I guess to tack on to this, when you make some of these requests, especially with this the violation of sunshine law and the open meeting laws, when we're in compliance, yet our superintendent spends 7 hours of his weekend and work day doing research for something that's a moot point. And if you look at the time he spent doing it, his time is better served administering the district, supervising staff, running the schools, instead of going on these wild goose chases. If you don't, my point is, if you don't have evidence, concrete evidence, like a few of these things here is aggravating, that there's no evidence, yet we make these claims and allegations of violations of law, someone making comments, privileged comments to someone in an audience. I think there needs to be more responsibility when things are requested and said.
Well, okay, the 7 hour thing. Was that, apparently that must have been most recently. I don't know what 7 hours he spent.
This had to do with the letter to the editor.
Okay, the letter to the editor, that's not on the list, but I guess we'll add it now. That was, to my knowledge, not ever discussed at a board meeting. And I believe that Karen was the author of that, sent it out to all the board members and replied that, or put in there that we were to reply to her by 6 p.m. on Sunday night in regard to whether we were going to put our name with it or not.
Right.
That appears to be making a decision outside of the board as to what was in the letter. I mean, if that's not a violation of sunshine law, can somebody show me in the minutes where we authorized it?
It did not involve an email chain of emails, if you will. It was a letter that I was going to put in there, regardless if the board said so or not. It was all issues that the board had approved. It involved primarily the consolidation issue and the closing of Marlboro and the subsequent plan that Joe put together. So I authorized, just put the letter to the editor, just put it out there. We've already approved this. I thought, let's see if board members want to show unity. Let's put our names to it, because people then can see a name instead of just Board of Education. Hence, Karen, being the wordsmith she is, she comprised the letter and said, if you want your name, I need to know by 6:30, because I got to submit it. That's all that was. There was no board discussion. There was no deliberation. It was all items in that letter that had been approved by this board. There was no deliberation. There was no back and forth.
No decision making. There was no decision making. In the code of ethics from the Ohio School Board Association boardsmanship book, there is there are different points that it says that school board members should do. It says, while serving as a member of my Board of Education, I will accept the responsibility to improve public education. To that end, I will, and then it lists a couple things, or a number of things. And one thing it says is encourage ongoing communications among board members, the board, students, staff, and the community. It was a communication of what had happened or what we had decided and where we're going with the community. Largely, we hear, sometimes we hear from some people that they don't feel that they've been communicated with. So that's what we were trying to do, communicate decisions already made. It wasn't making a decision. We were communicating the decisions already made.
Well, there was a decision made to get it into the paper. And I'm going to, I mean, since this week or last week was Sunshine Law Week, I think we should all be mindful of it. And there was a very recent, well, not a recent court case, 2016 court case about the very thing, about putting a letter to the editor in email by four board members. It was not discussed at the board meeting. So I'll just share this with you for what it's worth. You guys read it. And I just encourage us to be very, very careful, be transparent, and represent our community the best we possibly can.
I agree. Another code of ethics point is that we are able to express our personal opinions, but once the board has acted, to accept the will of the majority. You don't accept the will of the majority. You work consistently against the will of the majority of the board. That is a code of ethics violation that you clearly make persistently and consistently, and it's been that way from the beginning. You have accused people, administrators, and isn't this fun, by the way, having this conversation? We're having this conversation because this persists with you. You and I had a conversation in 2006 when I was a reporter. You contacted me after I wrote a letter to the editor because of all the upset and like meetings like this that we had. And there were people that came would come and they'd say, I'm not coming anymore. It feels like I got puked on. They got so tired of all the upset that was going on. And the reason was that there was a superintendent, that there was a group of people that wanted to get that superintendent out. It wasn't Joe Knoll. He hasn't been here since 2012. And you were part of that group. You got elected and you made the meetings as awful as you could, that group of you. And I remember having a conversation with you when you contacted me because you said, because I'd written a letter to the editor saying, you know, I just want the superintendent to be able to do his job. And you and I met at the Marble Township Hall. And I said to you, the same thing you're being told tonight. If you have concrete evidence of something, of wrongdoing, present it to the proper authority so it can be taken care of. But otherwise, you're dragging this community through this awful mess. And they don't know what's going on. Most people don't understand. And it just makes, it's a divide. We will never come together.
Board discussion, please.
If you continue to accuse, it's like, this is a pattern. It's a continual pattern, it has been. And the spirit of it is very, I mean, you're real good at how you say things and present things, but the spirit of it is very clear. It is constant disruption and distraction and division. And I would say to any community member that is tired of this, say, I'm tired of this. You know, tell her you're tired of it, because it is, she's the one consistent member that's been here since that time. Well, I mean, Scott's new. I'm new. Tom's relatively new. Mark has been on for the longest after you. And this community deserves better. You talk about wanting to keep this school, and everybody has an opinion, but this thing is going to crash and burn if at some point we don't say, we have to let this go.
and move on from here and stop trying to find what you're doing wrong, what everybody's doing wrong. We have to move on. And, you know, someone can stand up and say that, you know, they've looked at this or they've looked at that. If you haven't been here for this, you know, that realm of time to see this for, you know, you can think that you've been around for a long time if you've been around for maybe 3, 4, 5 years. If you haven't been here for, you know, this latest, like, decade and time frame, you don't know what's been going on and how this has continued to be perpetuated. And I am an alumni of this school. I have a student currently in the school. And I want this to stop. I want to stop.
My suggestion, if you want it to stop, follow the majority of the community, because that is what I'm here to do.
Let's move on.
Nothing you're discussing has to do with the voting. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's move on.
Right.
Let's start with new business. Buildings and Ground Committee report. This is Karen Humphreys and Mr. Thomas Hipley.
We talked about things we would like to do at the high school to bring it more into the
center.
So we talked about the bus port demolition.
Mm-hmm.
And the low quote was $16,714. The high quote was $24,000. That was just pressure washing and painting.
Right.
So we need to decide what we want to do. Go ahead.
We looked at modernizing the rest of the windows that hadn't been replaced. Quote at $570,000. We talked about starting the roof at this building. Our old quote was $2 million. We know that it'll take 4 years to complete. Talked about some safety grants that the district has applied for. The bus navigation app, which should be in effect by next school year, so you'll be able to look at your smartphone and know where the district bus is for your child. What else you got?
Roof.
You talked about the portico, the high school.
Bus pool. Yeah, we did.
Anything else you want to add, Joe?
I think that's the majority of what you covered.
We're going to get more quotes and come back after the buildings and ground next meeting and make our recommendation to the board at that point.
Okay. All right, let's move on to open enrollment.
Okay. I'd like to recommend a motion that the board continues participation in the inter-district open enrollment program, policy 5113, for the 2019-20 school year for grades K-12.
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Discussion?
Who's first? I'm sorry.
Tom.
Thank you.
Discussion?
Call roll,
please.
Pretty
straightforward.
Carolyn Gabriel?
Yes.
Thomas Hipley?
Yes.
Karen Humphreys?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
And I'd like to recommend a motion that the board continues participation in the intra-district open enrollment program, policy 5113.01, for the 2019-20 school years for grades kindergarten through fifth grade.
So moved.
Second. Who's second?
Karen.
Discussion?
Just to be clear, this is just if your child would be boarded to go to Lexington, they could go to Washington.
Correct. Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabriel?
Yes.
Thomas Hipley?
Yes.
Karen Humphreys?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, letter C, be it resolved that the Marlington Local Board of Education authorized the superintendent and treasurer in conjunction with legal counsel to file appropriate legal and or administrative actions to address issues related to union due deductions and to incur any necessary and related expenses.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
Are you able to make any more comments on that, or I mean, to just do a general overview or not, because it's a legal action?
Yeah, I don't know if that would be appropriate to speak at this point.
Okay. Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabrich.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Okay, I'd like to recommend a motion to approve the 2019 through 2024 five-year strategic plan as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabrich.
Abstain.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Okay, out of state field trip. Recommend motion to approve the out of state field trip for the girls golf team to travel to the MTPP Invitational in Erie, PA on September 21, 22nd, 2019.
I so move.
Second.
Any discussion?
They don't need any extra chaperones, right?
Mr. Noel's gone.
He got that covered.
Hey, it's
a Florida beach.
Yeah, that's true. It's PA. All right, call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabrich.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Treasurer's agenda.
Item A, recommend motion to approve minutes of the following meetings held on February 21, 2019, special and regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Our plan is we're gonna try to post the audio the next day, like we did last month every meeting. We were able to do that last time, so.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yep. Excellent.
Roll call.
Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabrich.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
B, recommend motion to approve the financial reports and overview of receipts and expenditures for the period ending February 28, 2019, as presented.
I so move.
Second.
Discussion?
These are our normal monthly reports that are in the treasurer and Dropbox and attached to the
discussion. Call roll.
Carolyn Gabrich.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
Two, recommend the motion to approve the donations as presented.
Yes,
second.
You want to read those,
yeah,
Ryan?
I'm going to go back in. Sorry.
Yeah.
If you have them, yeah. Sorry.
Let's do it. How about the Washington Rotens, donation for high school students to attend Girl State, $550, and the Marlington Class of 2018, recipient to the Class of 2022, dollar amount of $9,270.18.
Question, is that the normal procedure for the classes that pass money back down?
So it is up to the how this works by the Auditor of State guidelines is the class has to determine how they want to, what they want to do with their leftover funds. And so we take direction, it's not me or anybody else. That is the, what happened in that case was the officers of that club or of that grade level sent us an email and requested that we do that. And so
Okay. That's
why we're moving that money.
Did they only have so many years to
I don't know how
designate that?
That's a good question. I don't know. In my experience, it's always been done, you know, fairly within a year maybe of them, that graduating class moving on. But we're not allowed to do anything with it because it's a 200 fund, so it's a student-managed activity. We're just the custodian of that fund. So if there was no consensus or we couldn't reach those people, what I've always tried to do is say to those advisors is before the class, you know, graduates is sit down and have that discussion with the officers and come to some sort of consensus about what you want to do with whatever funds are left over. So that's the idea.
So they could have used this fund. They could have.
I've seen it where it's been donated to buy TVs for
a school sign out front.
Okay. Yeah, or donate a school sign. I mean, they could, you know, as long as it's nothing illegal. Yes, they could say, hey, this is what we want to do with the money.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know about a stat, you know, how long they came back. If they never could get a determination and they waited 10 years, I don't know. I would just let it sit there.
I thought we actually had made a policy at one point that they had to move it within a certain period of time.
Okay.
We have to look at that. We just won't apply this one.
Okay.
Okay, any more discussion? Call roll.
Carolyn Gabber.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
Number three, recommend motion to approve fiscal year 2019 appropriation revisions as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion.
Yep. This is in the amount of $35,000, an increase in the general fund. This is for the bus GPS software. Wasn't originally contemplated, so we're adding that appropriation to the budget.
Okay, any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabber.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes.
Four, recommend motion to approve the resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor as presented.
Nice to move.
Second.
Discussion.
This is an annual requirement by the county auditor that boards certify these, and then I pass this on to the auditor after the meeting. And it's for the next coming up fiscal year is how they do this. They always have a new set in advance is what they're doing.
So these are the levies that we have in place that we're certifying on?
Correct. Yes. These are only current levies that you have in place. Yes.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Carolyn Gabber.
Yes.
Tom Sibley.
Yes.
Karen Humphries.
Yes.
Scott Mason.
Yes.
Mark Ryan.
Yes. Personal agenda.
Okay, here we go. I'd like to recommend a motion to accept the retirement of Geneva Dotson as a Title I tutor effective August 31, 2019. Recommend a motion to accept the resignation of Jackie Shattuck as an assistant head cook effective June 6, 2019. Recommend a motion to accept the resignations of Maya Ordano as an intervention specialist effective June 7, 2019. Under administrative certified classifieds, reductions in force, these are the positions that are being eliminated due to our consolidation. The first nine are specific to that, and then the last two are what we do on an annual basis, just for your information. And then letter C, staff member listed herein are currently serving on a limited contract, which expires at the end of the 2018-19 school year, a reduction in force as presented. And I'd like to recommend a motion to approve the non-renewal of the following individuals in one or more tutor positions at the end of the 18-19 school year due to the availability of funding, those individuals as presented. And then on the classified reduction in force, I'd like to recommend a motion to approve the reductions in force for the following individuals at the end of the 18-19 school year by classification, all of those individuals as presented. And then under hires, recommend motion to hire Mark Gling as the high school social studies teacher beginning with the 19-20 school year pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BCI, and FBI checks as required. And then recommend motion to hire the following for the 2019-20 summer migrant program pending verification of credentials, BCI, FBI checks as required. Whole lot of individuals there as well as presented. Number three, recommend a motion to hire the following for the 18-19 supplemental employment pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BCI, and FBI checks as required. Those track individuals as presented. And then finally, number four, recommend a motion to hire the following for the 19-20 supplemental employment pending verification of satisfactory credentials, BCI, FBI checks as required. Our new girls varsity soccer coach.
So moved.
Second.
Who's going?
Scott.
Thompson. Okay, any discussion on that?
What's the enrollment for the MIGRA program for this summer?
We have no idea. Mr. Guaroli will find out when they all return, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so right now we don't know.
So if we have too many teachers then for the number of students, what happens then?
Then we drop them off.
They'll be terminated?
Yeah. And we're assuming all the ones are coming back from last year as Mr. Guaroli is planning. I don't know if that's a good assumption.
We're hopeful. You just figured on the previous year.
Yes. We're hoping they all come back.
It's the same, essentially the same number of teachers as last year.
Yeah.
And other staff, as other positions.
It's actually less.
Oh, is it? Okay, so you have to reduce a little.
Okay, any more discussion? Call roll.
Carolyn Gabor?
Yes.
Tom Sibley?
Yes.
Karen Humphries?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes. Announcements.
Okay, so the end of 9 weeks is wrapping up here. April 1st, we have a soccer booster club meeting at any athletic booster club. April 5, 6, and 7, Beauty and the Beast in the high school auditorium, so make sure you come out and check that out. April 12th, the Lexington PTO, me and my guy dance. The 18th, no school, we have a staff professional day, and in my news and views that I sent out, I talked about what we're gonna be doing that day as a staff. It's a school safety drill with all of our folks. 19th to the 23rd is no school with a little spring break.
Okay, next board meeting, April 18th.
Yes, sir.
Special meeting at 5:30, regular meeting at 7. And then no need for executive session?
No,
is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so entertain a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Hello?
Carolyn Gabor?
Yes.
Tom Sibley?
Yes.
Karen Humphries?
Yes.
Scott Mason?
Yes.
Mark Ryan?
Yes. Thank you for coming tonight. See you next month.